clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to sit here every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And guess who's back? The Wild Panther returns. MG, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, Liam. Thanks. Oh, mate, what a time to come back. So much happening in the world of sport, rugby league, the Olympics, so much to talk about, so many people to talk about. But great to see your face, brother.
Oh, thanks, mate. Well, you're right. There's a lot of rugby league to talk about. But on a rare occurrence, MG, we are kicking the show off in a non-rugby league style.
What's cracking?
To become a legend, you have to beat a legend. And that's what we've seen. Australia win gold. Titmus, confirmation, a coronation. We can start the celebration for Australia. Arnie gets it done.
Well said, Mr. Zemplis, Basil Zemplis. Yeah, I love how they have them written down, like the when they're going to win. It's the celebration,
prepared.
The coronation.
Yeah.
Of the, but look, what a story, Liam. What a bloody story. This is the Titmus family hail from Tasmania. When they kind of worked out that swimming was going to be her career, they took all their belongings and basically went up to the Gold Coast, and the dad stayed behind to sell their house that they were all brought up in, and then they took the gamble, and look what happened.
Ariane Titmus, the Olympic champion over 400 metres, defeating Katie Ledecky, the call there from Channel 7, Australia's official Olympic broadcaster. I was glued to the computer screen here in the studio, MG. I know you would have been in the compound in Penrith. And millions of Australians around the country would have been watching, because this was the race. This was Australia's race of this Olympics. The build-up was everything.
Well, I think more than that. Especially here in New South Wales, that sport is just the tonic to distract us from what's going on around us.
Yep.
And so often it does it. So often it just picks you up and gets you out of one of their moods, sport. And I think that this young Ariana is now the queen of the swimming pool.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
20 years of age. Yeah. She's taken on. And Katie Ledecky, like, let's pay credit there.
Michael Phelps calls her the GOAT.
Well, she's 24 years of age. She is the GOAT female swimmer. And she played her role in this as well, because the rivalry has
Everyone
been there between these. And she went out hard and she led the race, and Titmus was holding on. And then it delivered in every possible way to, I think it was 0.7 seconds between the pair at the wall to finish. Just an absolutely fantastic Olympic moment, one that will be replayed for years to come. But how's the class of Titmus speaking to Channel 7 after the race about her rival?
I wouldn't be here without her. You know, she set this incredible standard, and all credit to her for the swimmer she is. And I've just been trying to chase her, and so it's really exciting now that we kind of have this battle going. It's really fun to race. In the race, I tried to stay as composed as I could, and then just tried to stick to my race plan, and I can't believe I actually pulled it off.
Gold Coast Titans, make her your number one ticket holder. Quickly, before someone else tries to get her. She is. That's a great story. It's a fantastic story.
And right there, we have the clubhouse leader for flag bearer, or the athlete to lead us into the closing ceremony.
Well said.
They always reward the best performer of the games. And right there, what she did today puts her in seat 1A, you would think. So well done to Ariane Titmus. We're going to talk more about the Olympics at the back of the show. We do have to get to some football.
Can we not talk about the skateboarding?
Okay, save that.
Oh, come on, man. They stack more than me. They've been stacking more than me. They can't even get down a pipe without falling off it. What's going on?
All right.
That's the comedy games.
We will get back to MG's take on the skateboarding before we finish up. But right now, let's talk some footy. MG, before we get to round 19, news breaking today. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's career in the NRL is done early, prematurely, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's so sad. So sad for him. Look, he's obviously going to rugby union. He copped a pretty bad concussion last week and didn't recover that well from it, I hear. So
he's announced he will be leaving the COVID bubble, the NRL's bubble, so that he can return to New Zealand, which means his time in the NRL is done.
Thank you for your service, RTS. It's been a pleasure.
What an amazing player he has been, no doubt, Will. We'll have an opportunity to celebrate his career before the end of the season. Right, let's look at round 19, MG. And where do you want to start? Because it was all played up in Queensland. There were some finals implications from the games and the race for the eight as well.
I think we start with the elephant in the room, which is the Dragons and Barbecue Gate, which is going to affect their season for the rest of the season. And because of some selfishness of certain players, they just don't look like they're there to play footy. They've got other things on their mind, and that's a real worry. Six games out, the Titans had their way with them on the weekend, and look, obviously a depleted Dragons team, and they will be for another couple of weeks. But they just the situation they found themselves in a few weeks ago was going to affect them for the rest of the year.
32-10, the Dragons went down to Gold Coast yesterday. Unbelievably, they still hold on to eighth position. They're
unbelievably
four
yeah.
and against. I think it's 26 points ahead of the Raiders on four and against. The Titans actually have a better differential, but they're a game behind. So the reality is for this St. George Illawarra Dragons side, and you know, Hook Griffin would be aware of it, as would everybody at the club, they need a come to Jesus moment to stop this slide.
I think they need more than that, even. I just can't see it. I can't see anything happening that's going to make the St. George Illawarra supporters happy towards it. You know, I don't think they're going to make finals footy. They've got themselves to blame. Obviously, the players who didn't go to the barbecue that day, I feel sorry for them, the likes of Tarek Sims and Ben Hunt and McCulloch and the like. But it's a team game. And when you affect your teammates in a negative sort of way, you've got to pay a price like they all have. And I just feel sorry for the Dragons supporters at the minute. I really do. After the black cloud was over their club for a good 2.5 years with the Jack DeBellin case, that kind of dissipated. But now they've put another one over their club, and it's disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah. And I mean, the other aspect to this is that still Zach Lomax hasn't signed that document, as far as I'm aware, from the NRL agreeing to the...
Who knows what's going on with that.
There's a very obvious divide that you can...
Yep. Yes.
The club could deny it and say, no, we've moved on, but it's demonstrating on the field. The other result we probably have to talk about from a negative aspect on the weekend, MG, is Madge McGuire and the West Tigers. They got this doco out at the moment, which is a fantastic production, Wild West Tales from Tiger Town. But what we're seeing, 44-24, they got done by the Seagulls over the weekend. Is Madge coaching for his job the back end of this year?
I've got no doubt. Look, they sit on 14 points. A win over Manly this last round would have been obviously awesome, but they weren't even in the game. They, you know, with Tommy Turbo was down a little bit in his performance, and so DC picked his up and ran with it. They've got a great back row, Manly, just quietly. But the Tigers, they've got six games to go. They're currently on 14 points. I would say for Madge to keep hold of his job for the next coming year or how many years. Don't forget, Tim Sheens is yet to arrive. It's due to COVID and stuff like that.
I completely forgot he was coming to the club.
Yeah, I know. So they've got the Warriors this round. Then they've got the Bulldogs. Then they've got the Cowboys. Then they've got the Sharks. Then they've got the Panthers, and they play the Bulldogs again to finish. So I think he's got to win four of them six. I'm going to give Panthers and the Sharks a miss, and I don't think he's got to beat the Warriors, the Dogs, the Cowboys, and the Bulldogs again to keep his job.
And the Bulldogs, as we saw yesterday against the Sharks, they're not a team you're just going to roll through at this end of the season. They are fighting.
Put it this
hard,
way, okay? If they play the Bulldogs twice in the run home. If the Bulldogs beat him in one of them games, I think Madge is gone.
Well, that is a wait and see, and whew, West Tigers, Tales from Tiger Town, that might be something to keep watching, because I believe they're still
Such
filming the final episode of it
really?
The moment. Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, I love it.
So, all right, let's move on, MG. More football to talk about from the weekend. Let's look at some of the positives, because there was some fantastic football being played, albeit up in Queensland. South Sydney. Wayne Bennett rated the performance 6 out of 10. They ran 11 tries through the Warriors on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think, look, we've spoken about them, and even when they've been beaten twice this year by 50 points, and we all know the old record in rugby league, you can't win a competition if you've had 50 points put on your butt. Look, they haven't got that team. Mightn't have had Latrell Mitchell. They mightn't have had Jai Arrow and Kalamatungi and Sua, Cook, Murray, Johnson, Campbell Graham, Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker. If any team's going to debunk it and fight the code, which just says that you can't win a grand final, it's this team. I think it's out of three teams. at the minute. At the minute, it could change next week if something goes wrong. But as it is, as we're looking at the round 19 performances, and I think it's out of three teams. I think South. No, I don't. I think Manly are a dark horse as well. I think Manly can win it. I think Manly over Parramatta, if I had to pick one of them two teams who could win the comp, I think Manly could beat it instead of Parra because of so much strike weapons on their team. But you look, South, for mine, I think that just quietly, Liam, they're only 2 points behind Penrith and the Storm.
When did this happen?
When
can someone please tell me when the bloody hell South Sydney crept up to within a game of Melbourne and Penrith?
And with Latrell in this kind of mode and this mindset that he just says to himself, I want the ball and I'm going to score and I get the ball 10 metres out. The way he ran through young Bailey Sirenin, who is a magnificent defender, mind you, it just says to me that no one can stop him. No one can stop Latrell when he puts his mind to it. And that is scary for the likes of Penrith and the likes of Melbourne and the likes of Parramatta and I suppose the likes of Manly as well. So. Yeah. But yeah, good performance from them. They did it in third gear. That's probably why he said it's a 6 out of 10 because the Warriors didn't offer much.
He didn't like Wayne wasn't happy with the defence of his side.
I get that. Yep. Yeah, when you're playing Melbourne and Penrith and Manly, who can put points on you, big points on you, that could be a worry.
Yeah, you're not running 11 tries through Manly or Penrith.
No. And Penrith beat them at Dubbo by 50, and then I think Storm did that earlier. So they had 50 points put on them twice this year, but they could be the team to.
That origin period is turning out to be fantastic for South Sydney because it has given this inspiration, this new level of confidence to Latrell, and it allowed Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker to stay out of the fray and be fresh.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Very good point.
Hey, speaking of origin and the outcomes of it, Mitchell Moses' absence from this Parramatta side, going down 12-10 to the Raiders all the way back on Thursday night, you're feeling like the Eels are kind of stumbling a little bit the closer we get to finals.
Yeah, it's kind of like stage fright. It's kind of like, oh, here we go again. We're getting to the big games. But Canberra could have been, come on. Canberra have won three in a row now, and they just beat them because they wanted the game more. And that's a worrying proposition if I'm the coach of Parramatta. Look, young Dylan Brown, for all the fanfare that surrounds him, he's only set up one try this year. You know, he's got to do more with the ball. He's got to do more. He's a great attacking runner of the ball. Is he a fullback? Is Gutho a 5'8"? I don't know. So you try and get Gutho on the game more. I'm not sure because there's something missing for Parramatta to win the comp. And I thought having Papa Leahy coming over and Tom Opacek in the centres. No, I don't think they can win the comp the way they're playing at the moment. If it's a little positional change, I think Dylan Brown would be really good in open space. I just think at the moment he kind of has second guessing of himself all the time when he's got the ball. And they did miss Moses big time, but that's what happens. You've got to play most games. If you miss a player like Penrith with the Yo, when he went down the first 10 minutes, well, you've got to compensate for that some way. Mm. And the players who come on for him have got to compensate for that, but they didn't, Parramatta. Then, yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned because I don't know how long Mitchell Moses is out for.
Well, if you want to compare Parramatta to those other top teams, you're talking about a Panthers outfit that got it done 18-12 without Cleary, Yo going down, as you mentioned, with concussion. Yeah. You talk about a Storm outfit that it was close, 20-16 over the Cowboys, but they did that without Munster and Confucius.
That's a great point you make.
Those teams are getting it done despite the injuries and despite players being out.
That is an awesome...
Parramatta doesn't seem to be able to do it.
That's a great take. Well, yeah, I love that. That's a really good take.
And the team that they lost to got it done. They didn't have Jack Whiten and Xavier Savage, the Canberra Raiders, and then they lose Papa Leahy in what was it, the 34th minute?
Yep.
No Whitehead, and they lost Sutton in the 28th minute.
Quite simply, they wanted it more, and that's a worrying sign. They seem to have gotten rid of all their baggage. They're playing good footy. They're playing tough footy. They're playing
went to
like
the
they
dump,
did in...
dropped it off, left it behind.
Put in the archives, and away we go. We'll delete that later. It's just like I think having such a open and transparent drama happening in the nation's capital, I don't know. I think this move north is the best thing that could happen to them. Mm. Well, look, all their partners are going up with them. They're living in the sunshine. They're away from the -2 degrees. And it seems like a bit of a holiday for them. They're playing like it. They've won three in a row. Mm. And with a makeshift fullback in Rapana, who was man of the match by a mile. So teams, what you've got to look at this time of the year, Liam, and I suppose it's in all codes, is those teams that just do a little bit extra. That tackle that Raapana did on Sivo with his hip when he barged him into touch. That was a moment I thought, aha, the camera's light has the light switch is turned on. Yeah. They've gotten the fact that they can beat teams if they show some desperation, and they showed a lot of it.
Well, maybe Anthony Griffin needs to pick up the phone to Ricky Stewart and just say, mate, how
did you do it, Ricky? How did you get it going?
Where did you leave your baggage, and is there room for us? Because we'd like to move past our nonsense too.
Well, I think this is going to last a bit longer, unfortunately, for Dragons.
Big headline out of the weekend, MG. Dale Finucane, it's the name. Wow. We've all wanted to know what jersey will he be wearing in 2022. We now know he will be at the Cronulla Sharks, a four-year deal worth $2.5 million. What were your first thoughts when you heard the deal?
Wow, massive. Massive, massive, massive for the Sharks. You've got a bloke who, yeah, he's 30. Yeah, he has 4 years and it's on $625,000 a year, but he's worth every single cent of it. If Craig Bellamy calls you the most professional player he's ever coached, your collateral goes up for mine. When you hear player after player saying that you don't want to, when I'm at training and we're doing our wrestling or defensive drills, I kind of move away from Finucane so I don't get near him and paired up. Is that full on? Mm. And that rubs off. That rubs off. I remember when Penrith bought Chris Mortimer and Peter Kelly to the club. They bought them to the club in 1988, and they just taught us how to be tough. They just, like at training, they bought two pairs of boots. They just, little things we never even done. If it was wet, they'd put their steel studs on. We just trained in joggers. They trained in boots. So we started training in boots. We started training with our mouth guards because you get used to that. We never saw that before. Like just little things. Mm. And Dale Finucane will do that with now that Nico Hines, McInnes, Will Kennedy's at fullback, things are starting to look really good.
Yeah.
Really good for Craig Fitzgibbon. And look, it's justified, I suppose, the axing of John Morris.
You think it has?
I think it has to. I don't think John Morris gets these players. I don't think Johnny Morris, as much as he's a grassroots type of bloke who gets all these young kids through, I don't think he gets Nico Hines. I don't think he gets Finucane because Fitzgibbon had the luxury of being in Origin camp with these guys. And they're seeing how he does it. We've spoken to Freddie on this show who says that I leave it up to Fitzy to do all the talking to the players.
Yeah.
So I think it's a magnificent recruitment from the Sharks because long after he's gone, the Finucane that is, they're going to still feel his impact at the club. Mm. And you can't put that in figures.
This is what Sharks interim coach Josh Hannay had to say about the signing of Dale Finucane.
He just looks like so genuine as a person, and to be a genuine footballer, you've got to be a genuine person. And that's what the club certainly is, I think, gone about its business this year around recruitment and retention is getting good, genuine people in because ultimately they're going to be good, genuine footballers, and he epitomises that. He just seems like a leader and he seems like a guy that's going to set a really high standard for everyone else to follow.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. I agree with everything that he said, and I think that epitomises the Sharkies. But Craig Fitzgibbon, I know we're all a bit dubious about the way they got rid of Johnny Morris. Because we seemed like a decent bloke who was doing a decent job and, getting to the top eight 2 years in a row. But then I just don't know. They don't attract the players to the Sharks if Craig Fitzgibbon isn't their coach. So well done, the Sharkies.
Now, just quickly, before we're going to get to some more Olympic chat in a moment, MG, with an Olympic Tokyo-themed version of Has MG Been Paying Attention? But Dale Finucane, quickly, this bloke is 30 years of age. I think he's about to turn 30.
Yep.
What a career. And it's not over yet, and I don't want to kind of bring the curtain down on it, but
this is a guy who
played in a losing grand final for the Bulldogs. He went down to Melbourne. He's bought into that system. He's won a premiership down there as a result of becoming a part of that and getting the most out of himself as a player. Then he's cracked State of Origin. He's cracked a blue squad that I don't think most people would have ever thought he might have made.
No.
Then he gets a vice captaincy role with New South Wales in this year's series because of Freddie's respecting him so much and what he does. And now he's cashing in. Now he's ticked all those boxes, and now he cashes in with a big money deal to wrap up his career.
So because he made the right decision. Imagine if it was Josh Jackson instead of him who went to Melbourne at that stage. We're talking about Josh Jackson these days has maybe been an immortal. if he got the tools of what they've got down there, even Luke Thompson to a lesser degree, if he was in Melbourne or one of the top four teams instead of slogging it out. But Finucane, yeah, good point you make because I reckon he would have probably signed for $150,000 in the first couple of years in Melbourne, and now he's got payday. And if any player in the NRL deserves it, through hard work and dedication, it's Dale Finucane. Because once he finishes rugby league, he's got another career in singing. So the guy can do everything. He can deputise for Shrek 2 in Shrek 3.
The Beager Bomb, well done. Big fan of Dale Finucane here. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Sharks. And hey, Dale Finucane isn't done with the Melbourne Storm yet. You reckon he's going to play a big part in their premiership campaign?
Dale.
MG, I know we spoke about Ariane Titmus and her gold medal performance at the top of the show, but there has been so much to get through. So,
it is sport heaven. It is sport heaven.
Let's do this.
Triple M Japanese Summer Sports Carnival Update.
Let's have a look back, MG. We're doing a Japanese Summer Sports Carnival update version of Has MG Been Paying Attention? Because there's that much happened over the weekend.
You actually need eight eyes to watch everything's going on. How often do you change channels and stuff? What am I going to miss?
I've got three screens at my desk and my phone set up, and I still feel like I've still got FOMO. I'm still worried about the things I'm like, who's competing in the archery? I can't miss it.
I know. It's that type of. Yeah, I think we really needed these Olympics. We really needed them.
Spot on. All right, I'm going to give you a bit of audio. You've got to tell me the sport and the story, please.
Under 3 minutes 30. The first women's team to ever be under that.
Yeah, the 4x100 relay. What a story this is, too. The two Campbell sisters, McEwen, and obviously the young Meg Harris. And our girls set a world record. Go, you good things.
4x1 equals 3 in a row for the Australians. A world record. They defend their title. And the best of this generation.
Yes, that had me up on the couch yesterday. That was awesome. So good.
It's that type of thing, isn't it?
We own that event. We've won it at the last three Olympic Games. It's fantastic. All right, MG, next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
Yeah! Every 40 years, fakes the shot.
This is extraordinary.
Come on, friends.
That's our Ollie Roos beating Argentina?
No. Tricky one, because this is kind of the off-Broadway commentary. Courtesy of Channel 7, all the audio we play from the Olympics, courtesy of the official broadcaster of the games, Channel 7.
You got me.
25-game win streak. The United States of America
last night
is over. They blew France with a huge win.
Team USA losing opening game of the Olympics in some fashion last night against the French, while we, the Boomers, just tick along. It was sloppy over Nigeria, but we got the win.
Just proves that a great team will beat a team of greats. The old adage.
Nice. All right, next one. Sport and story, please.
Viva España!
Oh, I tell you what, producer Charlie has made these clues difficult today.
Viva España?
That's all you're getting.
Well, they beat us in soccer.
They did beat us in the soccer, but that's not this story.
Oh, far out, man. Come on. This Charlie, cut me some slack, brother. I've had a week on holiday.
Is from the world of tennis.
Sara Sonibas Tormo with the upset, defeating the number one seed, Ash Barty, at the Olympic Games.
Ash Barty knocked out of the games in the opening round.
Very impressive.
She looked tired.
That's something she's used to. I think the emotion of Wimbledon has kind of finally caught up with her.
Yeah.
Not having friends and family with her. I think you're right. She looks like she's had enough. She needs a really good holiday now.
Absolutely, and she's earned it. All right, one more. What's the sport and what's the story?
This test event here in Tokyo. Goodness me. The rib is reversing out of the way just as the athletes dive in. And that, I don't think, was on the schedule.
Oh, that was amazing this morning watching the triathlon. The big boat almost ran over all of them.
There's a full start. Half of them got left behind.
It is indeed.
This is a full start. This is a shambles.
Yes.
It's a shambles.
Shambles, this is. I can't believe they're going to run over this guy with a boat.
You've got all the athletes lined up on the pontoon set to dive in, and there's a great big bloody media boat.
Like a ferry.
What was it doing?
Like a hydrofoil.
Surely the one rule for the bloke driving that boat is don't be in front of the bloody competitors when the start gun goes. You've got one job, mate.
One job.
So that's a false start. He had some of the blokes take off at...
What about the win from the Norwegian?
That was outstanding. I was watching that.
The last 3Ks of running, my goodness.
Oh. Do you know what time they did that 10K in?
No.
They ran that in 29 minutes, 38 seconds. That is...
Under 30 minutes.
For those of you out there who want to give this a crack, go jump on a treadmill. Well, you can't go to the treadmill, but go to a park and try and run 3 minute kilometre pace, just for even for 500 metres. And that's how fast these blokes were running for the entire thing. Hey, the Olympics, they keep going. We'll keep touching on them.
What? We're not talking about skateboarding.
MG, the floor is yours.
What is it? What's going on?
You're not happy.
No, look, congratulations for making you the first time that's ever been at the Olympics. But, mate, some of them stacks this morning that I was watching, like, that's kind of taking the mickey, isn't it? Like, this is more of an X Games thing.
What do you mean?
Some of the skaters from all around the world, they go and jump up on a pipe and they fall off. There wasn't one person sticking a stunt. It's the Olympics, people. We demand more. Come on.
It would be like if the equestrian horses were kind of knocking over every second hurdle.
Every second hurdle.
And then going
or if
back.
The hurdles or if the 110 meter hurdle runners hit every hurdle.
And then like, they went back to the start and said, "Nah, I'll do it again."
It's kind of just, I don't know, might take a while to get used to, but it just doesn't seem right having skateboarding in the Olympics.
Hey, my one to watch as we keep going through these games, Sally Fitz, she won through to the next round of the surfing as well. And she has never won a world title, but that woman wants the gold. And I think she's in with a red hot chance to win it. So good luck to all the athletes. We'll continue to touch in on the games as we go through the week. MG, we are done. Got to get out of here. Teamless Tuesday will kick in tomorrow.
Can I wait? As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay gold.